Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Rex Road's very happy over there, so.
Good. How about that Charles McCabe coming through with the code? So I'm back in the text line. Let's go.
Here we go.
I was like, is it okay? Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, how late do you call someone at night? You know, probably shouldn't call after 10. How early can you text someone? I think 7.
7's good.
I mean, really, Chase should be up listening to every minute to make sure that we're doing well and not committing FCC violations and all that stuff, you know, but. He is up at 7 to give me the code, so thank you, Chase.
Very nicely done.
Now I'm in the text line, so we can really start bitching about the Titans.
Keith says, waiting for you guys to get the caller that says trade Levis for Ty Simpson. That may happen at some point. We'll see.
Sure.
See what that looks like.
I think, would you not want to do that, Keith? Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, I'd probably take that right now if you're the Titans. Speaking of, what did you make of, since you were not on the show with us on Friday, your thoughts on Cam Ward, his performance on last Thursday against the San Francisco 49ers.
Not great. Nice first drive, but obviously he didn't do much, you know. The screen was good, you know, but he didn't do a lot. And then when more was asked of him, I agree with what Robert Saleh said. It seemed like he was needlessly sped up. And not trusting his offensive line. You know, and that's the really interesting thing about the whole night is that I came away from it feeling better about the offensive line. And then he was not good. You know, just missing throws you can't miss. We talk about it all the time. Like, you just got to have those gimmies. And there were some gimmies. And he's throwing lasers when you don't need to throw lasers, and should have been a pick on the one to take. You know, it wasn't good. The grounding, not good. End of the world? No. Not end of the world, but also a little bit discouraging.
Well, there was a play that we didn't talk about a lot on Friday that I went back and watched and saw some clips of over the weekend that is probably the most concerning play now to me out of them all. I mean, the misses, obviously, you can't have. But it was the first drive. You know, it was like the first or second play of the game where they've moved out of the back of the end zone. So I guess, like, you know, one of the first handful of plays of the game. And he ended up breaking the pocket and running and picking up a couple yards and got tackled there. Well, before that, like, you go back and you watch it, and he drops back and – Gunnar Helm's breaking out to the left. He's wide open. There's no one around him. Ward never looks at him. And Ward starts climbing the pocket for no reason. There's no one around him. And he holds the ball out like this, like right in front of him. And he's just holding the ball out, looking down the field, but not looking at Ward breaking out over to the left. And then he just runs for no reason. There's no one making any pressure on him. Like, I was like, what is he doing? So I didn't see that in live time. And then you go back and see, like, people breaking it down over the weekend. And one of the guys I saw breaking it down was just like, I have no idea what he's doing here. But I've never seen a quarterback hold the ball out in front of him. I mean, it looked like he was getting ready to punt it. And then he just put it back in and it just totally ran off and you know, picked up a couple yards on the play. But I was like, geez, was that?
Well, there's a play to be made. Not seeing things. I mean, that's just like, yeah, like, I don't want to say panic, but just not comfortable, right? So you could again always look at that and say, well, you know, that's on the offensive line if you want to, but I thought that they did okay. I mean, obviously as the game went on, poor Will Levis, who no one will want to trade for, he was bad, but also there were times it was like, geez, that guy is like there's just no chance.
You could see it on his face a couple times when he got up. He's just like, I mean, what are we doing out here, guys? Good grief. Yeah.
But with Cam, it's like, I mean, look, this is something that happens to quarterbacks. And I'm not saying that's what it is and it's like some permanent thing, but like happy feet, seeing ghosts, all that stuff, that was part of the Mariota thing too. Absolutely, to me. later in his time here was there were times when, like, he actually had a pocket and he didn't seem to trust that he had a pocket. And so that from that perspective, you don't like that. Anything that's related to system, and it's a new system. It's the first preseason game with the new system. Anything related to that, timing, okay, those are things you can work on. But I think a good chunk of this is just like, I don't know, man. Like, you just have to be better than that. And this is where we get into, like you've said, you brought it up a lot. You know, this year, if it's going to be bad up front, you know, is it going to be just an excuse fest? Well, you know, if it is, then there's some things that are going to be out of his control. But in that game right there, you had easy opportunities to make plays that you didn't make. So, I think Saleh is right in that he didn't trust some things and he just was going too fast, and sometimes that leads to inaccuracy. But sometimes with him, everything looks right. It all is exactly how it's supposed to look, and the ball just doesn't go where it needs to go.
Yeah, and that's the thing that they've got to get fixed here. So, you know, we'll see what that looks like for week two coming up, which the game is Sunday, so there's a long time to wait here for that.
Goody. More good practices for him in the meantime.
Good practice.
He had a good day of practice the next day.
Joint practice coming up, I believe, on Friday this week. So, long time to wait between now and that next preseason game.
A week from today, we'll be reacting to both the joint practice and the preseason game.
Correct.
Titans are not helping us out here. Not helping us out.
Looking forward to that coming up. So the question you've thrown out there on the grid, which I think is a really interesting one. If you're a Titans fan, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025. Would you rather have for preseason game number one, a bad Cam Ward performance like we had, but J.C. Latham's really good. Offensive line play was pretty good from the starting group there, and that was probably your biggest question mark on your team heading into the year. Would you rather have that in the first preseason game, or would you rather see Ward looking pretty good in the first preseason game but coming away thinking, oh, God, well, he's going to be running away for his life all year because the offensive line is just terrible? Joe, where do you come down on that?
Yeah, like, would you trade this right now, like, worried about Cam? I mean, he's the most important player. He's the franchise number one pick quarterback. Didn't play well in the first game. I thought with Carmona,
it's encouraging.
And certainly, like, you know, you could look at it and say, well, how are these guys who were supposed to be ahead of him losing to a rookie? But whatever, I think he's got something. I think they may have something there. I liked Latham, man. I will say, like, you know, Latham to me is the number two most important player on this team. He looked to me like he's in good shape. He looked to me like his feet were moving well. He absolutely obliterated a couple guys at times. It wasn't perfect, but I was very encouraged with that stint. So, yeah, it's a hard one because, of course, Cam is the most important player, but if he played well in that game, first of all, it'd still be – and none of this necessarily means it's translating, but he could have played well in that game. We've seen him play well. We've seen him make great throws. They're just going to have a problem at right tackle. We know left tackles, whatever, and it's just going to be another one's year. I think this is better. I think reality is better than that hypothetical, but some may disagree.
We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of your thoughts to get to on Cam Ward and the Titans offense coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Keep up with training camp with 1025 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as you get prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp presented by Tennessee Brew Works, Parman Energy, and the Music City Kickoff Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Rex, we're throwing the question out there, which I think is a good one. Would you rather have the performance that we saw on Thursday, which was not very good from Cam Ward, but the offensive line played pretty well, looked good out there at times, or have it flipped where Ward looks pretty good and the offensive line shaky in that first preseason game? A lot of thoughts on this already on the text line. One texter says, definitely the offensive line looked good. We've seen Cam start super slow in the preseason last year, come back, show some confidence, great flashes. Offensive line started slow, ended the season competent, it's good to see them get off to the right foot. Chad says, I trust Cam to grow into being comfortable in the system behind a good offensive line way more than I trust a struggling offensive line to figure it out throughout the season. I mean, my natural inclination in this question is always lean quarterback because of how important it is. So, like, personally, I'd rather see the quarterback look good because, I mean, if he's not going to end up being a good player, then you're kind of screwed at that point. But, you know, to your point, if the offensive line ends up being better than we think it's going to be, well, that's another weapon that you've got to help your quarterback. I would assume the running game be pretty good if that's the case, which I was pretty encouraged by what we saw from that on Thursday in the preseason. I still look at their skill position, and I know Tate didn't do anything in the preseason game, but I think he's going to end up being a good player this year. I think they're in a much better position with their skill positions than they were a year ago. So all those things around the quarterback, like if you can promise me that they're going to be good to decent to good, well, then I'm feeling better about the quarterback there. But I still, like, the thing that worries me to death about Cam from last year and certainly what we saw on Thursday was there's way too many times where there's somebody right in front of him that he just can't hit. And if that's going to be what it is, he's got no chance in this league. So I'm not willing to say that that's what it is yet, but that's certainly my concern right now on Ward.
Yeah, I think even if, like, you know, the processing gets better and he really feels comfortable in the system and you see more of the great throws that he can make,
yeah,
I think there's always going to be some like level of, man, how do you miss that throw? There is with Josh Allen. I'm not comparing them at all. Just saying, like, you will have Josh Allen misfire still that's like brings you back to the old days of like, how the hell is that dude even drafted as anything other than a linebacker?
Right.
So I think there's always going to be some of that. But yeah, when you have a few of those and just, you know, a few of those to go with, I mean, you and I just watched the play that you were just talking about where he looks like a Notre Dame fullback in 1930. Here's the ball, boys. Here I come. Wake up the echoes. And you got a wide open tight end. And then you got the pick he should have thrown.
Yeah.
And you got the grounding that was terrible. Like, that's, you know, that's a freshman in college play. Like, all that together is just not great. But, yeah, I tend to agree with the people who are like, you know, like, he can have a couple bad series and you still, like you know, you like it could get better.
Sure.
Like, last year, it did get better. Last year, it got better through the season. First half and second half were different. Wasn't great the second half, but it was a lot better in the first half for him. Whereas, like, if you came right out in this game and it was just like Latham's a turnstile, like, you know what? Like, that's what it's going to be this year. I just feel like there's possibility, certainly, for Cam to figure it out, be better than if Latham stunk in particular in this game.
Yeah.
There'd be no hope.
I would feel probably a little bit different about my answer if the Titans had played anybody worth a crap in the first game on the defensive line. Like, they were going up against, like, third stringers from San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, like, frankly, their offensive line should have looked the way that they looked. It would have been a big problem if they did. Now, I'm glad they did,
right, so
because I've seen some situations over the last few years where the Titans probably should have handled the defensive front in front of them, and they didn't do it. So I'm glad to see them do it on Thursday, but I just don't know how much stock I put into it, given the fact that it was just a bunch of backups and third stringers that they were going up against with San Francisco.
Yeah, right. So you can't. So yeah, you have to be muted in your excitement for sure. But yeah, you flip it around. It's like, well, if you're stunk against them, boy,
bad news.
Like, there'd be nowhere to go. You know, and we'd be talking about, hey, who can they get on the waiver wire? Anybody trading a tackle for Will Levis?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Caleb brings up a point that I think a lot of people would say is, like, when you're evaluating the quarterback, it's what we talked about in the offseason of eliminating excuses, right? Like, if the offensive line is good, or at least decent, like it can hold its own, well, it gives you more of a complete evaluation of what you've got at quarterback. I mean, look, let's be honest. If the offensive line ends up being okay this year, like serviceable offensive line, well, at that point, you'll have a serviceable offensive line. You'll have an offensive coordinator that right now I think we feel pretty good about. And I mean, I guess I'll see how we feel 8 to 10 games in, but right now you feel pretty good about that. You got a number four overall pick at wide receiver. You got a guy that you brought in via free agency that's caught 90-plus balls each of the last 2 years. Ridley's healthy at the moment. He's been a productive player in this league. You've got, you know, Io Manor and DK who, you know, to differing levels you're somewhat excited about. So, like, if the offensive line ends up being competent this year, well, then I think a lot of those excuses are going to naturally be eliminated for Cam Ward. And it doesn't mean that you've got to make some, you know, unilateral decision on him at the end of this year, but it does, I think, certainly help the evaluation process of everybody involved of, yeah, some of these limitations that were obvious last year when you were talking about Ward and the Titans and there was just so much that he didn't have a chance with, well, that's going to be improved this year if the offensive line can take that step.
Yeah, yeah, you'd like to make it as clean an evaluation as possible. That's still as important as anything going on is just trying to figure out if he's a guy, although Texter says we need a good O-line for Arch Manning next year. There is that, too. There is that, too.
Well, you'd like to see him.
Arch would like to feel
step
good.
In.
You don't want the Mannings to try to, you know,
boycott,
pull something like they did with Eli, yep. You know, because J.C. Latham can't block.
We're going to Cleveland. We're not going Titans.
Craig says, I don't think Ward's a long-term answer at quarterback anyway, so I'd rather see an offensive line group that's gelling together and can maybe be built for the future. Okay, well, you're a Ward, are you doing, and that's fine. I'm not there. Yeah, this season, long season, there will be ups and downs. If Cam takes that stretch of football and those second and third possession the other night, and that's what he is for the long term, well, then maybe we will be talking about somebody different in 27, but I mean, I'd be surprised if it's that bad.
Well, I'd be surprised if it's that bad. And again, like, I would describe myself as somebody that, you know, we've talked about this, was pretty skeptical of Ward in the draft process, would not have been what I would have done at the number one overall pick, certainly would have traded out when presented with the option that the Titans were presented with New York. But again, they've made that decision. It is what it is. And I'm discouraged by what I saw Thursday. At the end of the day, it is a preseason game, so I think we need to keep some of that in mind. And I'm not – there's still a long way to go here in my mind before I've arrived at any sort of definitive conclusion on Cam Ward. And I think – and I know that we saw some of that on Friday with some of the reaction of, this guy sucks, he's a bust, he can't hit somebody 6 feet in front of him. Look, it was discouraging on Thursday. I've seen plenty of – quarterbacks that have turned out to be pretty good players have horrible games. So we'll see what this looks like moving forward. We're still a ways away from some sort of definitive decision. And the other part of this is, like, some of this is going to be on Dable and the coaching staff of, all right, how do you formulate a game plan to make your quarterback more successful throughout the season? Like, there's very little game planning going on in this game. And I know that doesn't help with the, hey, when somebody's open, you need to hit them issue.
Right.
But when things are tailor-made to your quarterback a little bit more throughout the course of a game, he's not going to miss, I don't think, as much as he missed the other day. If he does, well, then this answer is going to become pretty simple at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, like the first drive, I guess you could look at it and say, you know, I thought it was a nice, a well-called drive and
yep.
A little bit of a scripted thing. But, yeah, for the most part, preseason games are not anything like real games in that way as much as anything. Game planning for a particular opponent, you're trying to see things, you're trying to see people. So it's, yeah, there's a lot to it that gets an asterisk. Got a texter says, I'm saying it now. Trubisky's better than Ward. Not the greatest thing ever, but he's better than Ward. I mean, right now, if you had to win a football game, yeah, I mean, you might be right. Trubisky might be your better option, but
I hope not.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like if you need to win a game and the maybe slightly more like reliable game manager just gives you that chance, fine. But that doesn't matter. The ceiling is definitely higher with Ward. Will he come close to it? I have no idea. But that's why you're going with him right now, and you should. And Mitch Trubisky is QB2. And if it ever gets to the point where they're starting him, like I guess like the team winning, but Cam's terrible. I mean, right? But if you ever get to that point, then that's pretty much your answer on Cam Ward. And the people in charge of this franchise have put everything on him working out.
615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on Cam Ward. Plus, something else I'd love to get Joe's thoughts on that I'm now starting to become very worried about with the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, 1025 The Game, for live shows and exclusive content. You can join our YouTube chat as well, which is flowing. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We'll have Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock on the program today. Rob says, if you're saying if you need to win a game, maybe you go to your backup, that's devastating because some may say that's the only reason you play the game. There you go.
Yes, Rob. And I just responded to him. I said, yes, but also some quarterbacks do take time to get good in this league. It does happen. Sometimes they take so much time they don't get good till they're somewhere else. So you guys don't all want to be sitting there watching Cam Ward light the world up for the Indianapolis Colts now, do you, in 2032? Just saying. Stan in Portland says, we've had 2 full years of watching Latham imitate a saloon door, only 1 year of Ward with 3 different head coaches. Ward's ceiling much higher than Latham's. Ward simply suffers from saloon door traumatic syndrome. I like that one.
That's good.
I mean, it looked like there was. I didn't think that going into the year. I didn't think that last year necessarily. The other night did look like a guy who does not trust his offensive line a couple times. Like, just ready to tuck a little quickly when people are breaking open and there's time to throw.
Wouldn't it be Mandor traumatic syndrome?
MDTS?
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. I mean, it's, you know, like Texture says, I love how the conversations change week by week. LOL. Last week before the preseason game, we're talking about can Cam get 4,000 yards after the preseason game? Is he going to be a bust? And I said, well, I mean, both of those things are still actually on the table, I think.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah, it's.
I don't know that anything's changed there.
So, when he plays well, we'll start talking about when he plays well for a couple days. He had some good practices. He and Carnell Tate looked good. That was a disappointing thing, too. It's like Carnell, you know, they weren't able to get him like a play while Stribling over there is, well, doing whatever the heck he wants to do against the Titans. Which brings us to your topic.
Well, it does bring us that. So, it was not good from the secondary. We talked about that, you know, in the in-between of people throwing shots at Cam Ward on Friday, where there was a lot of talk about the secondary when it comes to Cordell Flott specifically. Like, I didn't think Taylor had a great game. I didn't think he did anything especially egregious in the game. But, like, I'd like to see a little bit more from Alante Taylor. I thought Flott was, like, actively bad in that game. And when you combine the game that we saw plus, you know, Nick Suss on last week, he was talking about the secondary and Hooker and Flott and in the joint practice, it starts to make you wonder, it's like, okay, well, is this just like a Kyle Shanahan is really, really good and this Stribling kid is going to be unbelievable? Is that it? Or do you look at Cordell Flott and you say, whew, starting to get a little worried about what the Titans secondary may look like?
Yeah, that was a flot flop, if you will, in that game. And yeah, it kind of adds up over a few days of like, what is happening with these guys? I'm with you. Taylor wasn't like a huge red flag, but Flott, I think what he got targeted 7 times and gave up 7 completions, I believe.
It's not good.
So yes. And we've talked about Imani Hooker, such an important player on this team. Not great early returns. I would say that's a legit concern. I also think these guys are going to look better once you get the full impact of your best players on the team, you know, up front, pushing the pocket from the interior. There's someone mentioned earlier, I do think that Oladejo is like you're seeing something with him. Again, I don't know that it translates into like a lot of production as a pass rusher, which is the point of when you draft someone there. But he looked physical and certainly like an early down guy who is going to be part of a good run defense. I mean, I totally expect this to be a good run defense. I expect them to be able to manufacture pass rush and get a lot of interior push. So all that's going to help the secondary. It's going to look different when they have everybody. But still, you got to cover people some. You got to cover people here and there a little bit, a couple seconds maybe.
Well, and then
give them a couple seconds.
You know, I think everybody would feel good about, obviously, Simmons and John Franklin Myers together and what that could mean for the Titans in the interior. I still think there are pretty large question marks on the edge, and just in terms of, like, how much pass rush are you generating straight up? Like, is Jermaine Johnson going to be able to generate a lot of pass rush? I like some of what I saw from Falk in the game. Like, yeah, I thought he, you know, he had some good reps out there. What's that going to look like as the year goes on? So, like, if you're not going to be overly strong in the secondary, you can help that out by generating a good pass rush. I mean, I think the nightmare scenario is, hey, maybe the secondary isn't as good as you hoped it was going to be, and the pass rush either takes a long time to get going or just isn't overly productive this year based on the fact that you're going to have, you know, a rookie playing important minutes, a guy that has been a good player in the league in Johnson but had a major injury a couple years ago, and we'll see if he's the same guy or not. Like, you know, there is a scenario, and I hope it doesn't happen this way, but there is a scenario is where their secondary is not very good and their pass rush isn't quite good enough to get home early, and you're kind of stuck in the in-between there if you're the Titans, and that's not a good place to be.
No. All like the edge guys too, all of them are like counting heavily on 98 and 91. I had to look up that JFM's 91, by the way. 98 and 91.
They got to wreak some havoc.
They absolutely wrecking shop. Yep. And I think
they should, by the way.
Yeah, they should. Like, that should make a difference. That's where, you know, that's where with the defense, while, you know, we're going to see, I think, and I wouldn't be surprised. Well, we'll see. It's after another joint practice, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more of the offensive line, offensive starters Sunday in that preseason game. And that's what you're going to have. You know, the O line, the backs. The whole deal, the skill guys, but we're not gonna see what this defense really is, and especially what the actual strength is until the Jets come to
correct. Play. Correct. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam, in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, Joe kind of hit my point, man. I don't think we're gonna see anything until week one. But the most concerning thing to me was that when there was like a 8 yard, 8 and in route. He caught, or the receiver caught it, and he stuck him and then got up and danced. I was like, oh my God, dude. Like, if you're celebrating giving up 8 yards, that's not great. Cause it wasn't like I stopped him on third down type play. It was like I made a tackle. That's concerning, dude. So I hope Saleh sees something and says something when it comes to that crap, dude. Cause like, celebrating should be banned until you get over 500. Like, you should not be allowed to celebrate. I think that should be a thing in the league. If you're losing, like, if you're awful, you shouldn't be allowed to celebrate. I hate it. I especially hate it with my team, dude. So,
I agree. Let's make the NFL North Korea. Man, you will solemnly march to your sideline after your touchdown.
Celebrations for winners, dude.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. You have to have a winning record to celebrate.
Get a flag thrown on you for
flying. Hey, was that a smile? Turn around and walk back to that side.
I will say, sometimes these corners in particular drive me nuts when they start celebrating like a ball where they just got completely torched on the play, but the quarterback overthrew it. Let's go. Oh, good. Yeah, great defense out there, bub.
Well, at least that's like they didn't give up a play. But yeah, to Adam's point, it's like, hey, I only gave up an 8 yard reception. I'm giving up an average of 15.3 per. So, great job. Look at me, Mom.
Yes. Robert Nashville says, what I'm hearing is Cam looks good in practice because our secondary stinks. Put up against a different team secondary, backups, he looks terrible. Ward looked like Levis. And it's going to equal 3 wins possibly this season.
Yeah. Well, that's a pessimistic view.
I did wonder, though.
It may not be inaccurate, but it is pessimistic.
Well, the first part of his text there, I did, you know, as I'm watching all this go down, particularly when I'm watching Flott just get absolutely torched out there by Stribling. And look, I remember Stribling in college. He's a good player. I don't know that he was like that. He looked like second coming of Jerry Rice out there on Thursday.
That is totally like the Niners that get that dude in the second round. He's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I know. And yeah. So that'll be interesting. But like, I was watching that and I was like, okay, so Cam Ward's looked pretty good in practices last week. Like, how much of this is just the Titans can't cover anyone?
And then he comes right out next day. Yeah. Woo, he looked way better. Why is that? I wonder.
It's like, wow. There's no Titans secondary play within 6 yards of any receiver out there. Okay.
Got away from the substation and a professional secondary. This texter says, that's the first time I've ever agreed with Adam from Portland, and I usually hate that guy. Be nice.
Come on now.
Everybody loves Adam from Portland. Come on.
We'll have the Rex Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rick's Road.
All I know is I'm pathetic.
Let's go to Jack.
His coach, obviously, a miscalculation there, and you're upset. Tell me about it.
Yeah, very upset. We should have been in a ball game with fast field goal. The coach had sent him in. We shouldn't have sent him in. That's a dang coaching mistake. That the kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
The field is ass right now, end quote.
Put his ass into a guy.
If you want to ride gas, grass, or ass.
So explain to me, what was the motivation for deciding to eat the grass?
Joe is such a get off my grass old man.
Always kind of just tasted a little piece of grass just to change the taste of my mouth.
I smoke weed constantly.
Is Cleveland bad for your marriage?
Yeah, I went to Cleveland, Ohio for the first time. I would not recommend it.
And you'll shut up and listen.
It is time for the Rex Rant, served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Joe Rexrode back in the saddle today. Joe, the floor is yours.
I thought maybe we'd have a grass. So let me ask you, Ian. So when something like that happens and we talk about grass, gas, or ass, in a nice van of the 1970s, like the Mystery Machine. So, like, are you able to, like, search up, like, can you search up things, like, by a keyword?
What do you mean, like, in our system?
Yeah. Because it feels
well, yeah.
Okay.
I can.
Okay.
Plus, I have a folder of, you know, stuff in here.
He's memorized it.
Yeah. But it's like, I feel like whenever a theme emerges, you're able to, find stuff that hits a word sometimes. So, I'm learning about your job.
Yep. We go in here. You can do a little search, you know. Keyword search is, I'd say that's fair phrase to put.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Fascinating. I'm trying to learn about, the best part of the show. So I had a couple things today. I was going to actually keep it going with, the Cam thing. I saw a tweet and I'm failing to find it now. But it was a Titans fan and it was essentially like
TikTok.
It was not Tic Tac Titans.
Okay.
It was someone I heard of. It was Titans Twitter, but it was basically like, fans, fans getting all over Cam, worried about Cam. This is why we never have a franchise quarterback, because we never give them enough time. And I'm just like, no. You gave Levis enough time. You gave Mariota enough time.
Vince.
You gave Jake Locker enough time. You gave Vince Young enough time. Like, no one – that's not ever true of any of them. So, what? But I lost the tweet. And then I saw this other tweet from Big Orange Mag. I have never heard of this. So, I showed Robbie during the break. We got to talk about this. And I'm also failing to find this, by the way. But he retweeted this. And it was someone who would retweet it and said, we need to come up with a slur for these people, which is like people who have children who have a hat ceremony for picking their travel team.
At like age 9?
Like a 9-year-old kid with balloons at a table. I'm going with,
I'm going to go play for the Hendersonville Explosion.
Yeah. I'm going with the Bears over the Cougars. I mean, are you serious? That's actually a thing. I've never heard of this, and I've been through all the travel sports stuff. I mean, I've been through a lot of the stuff. I know most of the stuff, or at least that has gone on. A lot of it's really stupid, and there's been plenty of rants about it here. I've never heard of a hat ceremony for a kid picking a freaking travel team, like a elementary school kid. Is this a thing, or is this like a one-time thing? Please tell me it's a one-time it's ever happened in society, and it will never happen again. And this is not something that's like a thing.
Oh, I bet it's one.
If it's a thing, it's just one more reason we're all dying soon.
I bet it's more than one. This is 100% the parents' fault. You cannot allow this stuff to happen if you're the parent.
Well, they're in the picture with them.
I know.
The balloons on the tail, like, yay, Johnny! Yeah! All right! Now let's go drive 8 hours and stay at a $250 a night hotel that's mandated that we stay at, and then all have to pay every day also to park and to get in to watch you play baseball.
But at least you chose your own team. Yeah, I mean, look, travel sports are its own thing, and I play travel baseball, so I get it. Like I know what it entails, but There's enough problems with it just kind of on the surface. You don't need to add any problems to it. You don't need to turn this into some college recruiting ceremony for your 9-year-old. Let's start to be parents at some point.
I mean, as I'm thinking about this, actually, Brennan would have loved doing this when he was like,
I'm sure he would.
Picking his youth football team or his, he was picking between travel soccer. I mean, he would have loved this stuff. Okay. Yeah, wait, Grandma and Grandpa are coming in. We're going to have a nice ceremony for Brennan. He's going with Aris. Woo!
What goes in the decision between Little League teams?
Yeah.
Playing time?
Facilities? How's that look?
Well, I mean, yeah, because
friends?
In all seriousness,
who's on your team? Or?
Well, for him, he tried out. First of all, he had to try out.
Okay.
And then they were like, he was good enough. So then it's like, congratulations, now pay us money so you will be on this trail. But yeah, I mean, it's convenience, where's practice, what's the cost, how good is it, this team has been, kids switch hoops teams all the time, right? And sometimes they'll load up, kids want to play together, there's a lot of stuff like that. But the idea that it would be, I just that's something that's never crossed my mind.
No.
And there's actually a picture of it. If anybody out there has actually heard of this being a thing, other than in this situation, please let me know. Oh, there's some great text on this.
There are.
Some great text on this. And by the way, I was also going to maybe make the rant about Jaden Daniels, It's almost 7:55, but I don't want to say 55, for fear of getting sued by Jaden Daniels.
He owns the number.
We got that one, too. Yeah.
Owns the number.
You guys have any fun with that?
We didn't get to that on Friday.
Okay.
We probably should have.
Well,
we need
to have some fun with that this week.
We can.
Jaden Daniels now, I wonder if he was a kid who had a hat ceremony when he picked a travel team. I must say.
This is going to start happening with, 5-year-olds playing baseball for the first time. It's like, I'm going to go play for the Parks team out here, but I'm the Giants this year, so that's what I'll pick.
Or is it let's have a hat ceremony. I'm going to do peanut butter and strawberry jelly instead of grape jelly.
Do we have to... This is another parents thing. Do we have to post everything? Do you have to create some sort of pomp and circumstance for absolutely everything?
Yeah.
Is that where we're at now?
It's a fair question. I want to be careful in ripping that because, I don't participate in Facebook, and Katie does, so I know that she sometimes puts stuff when the kids have. But I don't feel like it's
It's normal stuff.
Yeah, it's stuff that you would think that would be, hey, graduation.
Hey, here's my 9-year-old's college recruiting ceremony pick for his travel team. Going on.
I'm really disappointed that I can't find this. I think we need to find these people's names and shame them. I'm going to work on that. I mean, there's not a different Big Orange Mac, right?
Well.
There's only one Big Orange Mac
only
in
one.
The world.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because is this a – here's another thing. Here's another rant. So on Twitter now, it separates it when you go to someone's account for their posts or their repo. You notice this?
I wouldn't know.
Nope. Yeah, good for you. Yeah, no, good for you. So I was looking at his posts. Here we go. Now you have to, they've separated it. So now you have to go to the repost. Okay. All right, this is, here we go. We don't have names, but it's the mom and the dad and this kid. So excited for Lex as he starts his travel ball journey with B3 Elite 7U. And there's a cross, a baseball, and a heart. And they're sitting here at the end of the table with three freaking hats. I mean, these people need to be arrested.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.